You're listening to another life-transforming message from C3 Church San Diego. For more information on our church, go to c3sandiego.com.
Wherever you're at this morning, God can meet with you and speak into your world and change your life. So let's just pray this morning. Father, right now, I just lift up every person in this auditorium this morning. And in the name of Jesus, I pray that every ear would be opened, that every eye would begin to see who people can be in you. And Father, that you would do an incredible transformative work in every life. Father, take us from glory to glory by your Spirit this morning. And right now, just open your hearts to the Lord. Right now, Father, I pray that every heart would be open to you to receive and to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Hey, God bless you this morning. Give three people a high five. Say, great to see you in church. Fantastic.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Andy.
Give Andy Bennett and the musicians a big hand. Andy Bennett used to live in our house in the year 2000, I think it was. And we've, you know, been through the ups and downs together, haven't we, Andy? And he's a great man of God, and I love him very, very much. He's a fantastic brother. And I just want to say this, that I love C3 San Diego. And I haven't even started preaching, right? So I want to tell you that I love this church. I love your pastors, Pastor Jürgen and Leanne. They are a great man and woman of God. And can I say about this show, I want to prophesy over this church this morning, the best years of the lives of this church are in front of you. That you have got an incredible future individually and corporately, and eye has not seen, nor has ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him on an individual basis, but as a church, on a corporate basis. So I just want to give thanks to God. Can we just give God a great hand for this church? I just love it very much. I love it very much. You know, I'm preaching on the subject of transforming faith this morning. And my wife and I, we've been married now for 36 years. That's a long time, isn't it? 36 years, and we're currently on a round-the-world long service leave holiday. We've been to 11 countries. So the United States is the 11th country we've been to in the last nine weeks we've been traveling. And my whole family, I'm just so blessed, my whole family is in church today. Could you just welcome, could I say, my beautiful wife, Kerry, my oldest daughter, Summer, my son, Joel, my daughter. Can you just stand up, guys? Can you just welcome my beautiful family? And I'm just absolutely thrilled that we're all together. And that we started, we're ending this holiday as a whole family getting together, including with Mark and Charlize and Bella, and it's just absolutely fantastic. And we got married on the 2nd of February, 1980. Now, how many people weren't even born on the 2nd of February, 1980? Half the congregation, all right. So this is when we got married. After 20 years of marriage, Kerry and I took the family to Bali on a holiday, and we recommitted in the year 2000. We recommitted ourselves to one another and made a recommitment of our wedding vows. And we were just standing there on the beach in Bali, just the two of us, and I just said, you know what, I'm not... And we'd been married for 20 years. I've been pastoring for a long time. And I just said, you know what, I'm not the man right now that I ought to be. But I make a commitment to you that I am going to be a better person. I'm going to be a better Christian. I'm going to be a better husband. I'm going to be a better father. And so I'm not the man in 2016 that I was in 2000, or indeed that I was in 1980 when we got married, or that certainly that I wasn't in 1976 when I got saved. But I want you to know today that God is in the people transformation business. And there's people here, and thank God for what he's already done in all of our lives. But the best is yet to come. And if we can commit ourselves to going on a journey with God and with one another through the good times and through the bad times, but if we can just keep walking, sometimes it's through the valley of the shadow of death. But I want you to know this morning that there's a table set before you in the presence of your enemies at the end of that valley. If you can just grab the hand of Jesus and the hand of God's people and begin to walk through that valley, and you'll come out the other side totally transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Can we give him a hand this morning? Come on, I'm just warming up. It's absolutely, and I want you to turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version this morning. And today I want to show you three agents of transformation for our lives so that we can go on a journey of faith with God and be the people that God has called us to be and do the things God's called us to do. You see, we're not human doings. Do you hear me over here today? We're not human doings, we're human beings. But out of the being comes the doing. And if we can just allow ourselves to be molded by God, we'll do some incredible things out of who we are in Him. And Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the great apostle Paul is speaking, and he says these words, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You know, the first and most obvious agent in our transformation to being the people that God's called us to be is God Himself. How many people can thank God for what He's been doing in their lives? Jesus, in John chapter 15, in verse 5, He said this, "Without me, you can do nothing." How many people know that's true? Listen, the great thing about Christianity is this, we can't do it by ourselves. But the Apostle Paul in Philippians 4:13 said this, "I can do some things through Christ who strengthens me." No? Wait a minute, let me go back to the Word of God. I can do what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So you know what? By ourselves, in isolation, with all the human effort, and that's what religion is all about. Religion is all about human effort, an external set of rules which we're trying to conform ourselves to. But Christianity is all about Jesus dwelling in our hearts by faith and changing us from the inside out. So we're being transformed, and the Greek word is metamorpho, which means that gradual change, you know, from the little caterpillar that goes into a chrysalis, and then it emerges as something beautiful that transcends the law of gravity and begins to fly with all that beauty and strength and grace. And it's that God wants to take us on a journey where there's a process of transformation in all our lives. And, you know, we've got this treasure, the Bible says, in jars of clay. There's all this good stuff in you this morning. In fact, you know what? There's more in you than what you think. Can you just turn to your neighbor and say, there's more in you than what you think? There's the very DNA of God Himself. You're created in God's image. And it's awesome. But we've just got to allow all that good stuff to come out. How does it all happen? Well, one of my favorite scriptures is going to come up on the screen. It's James chapter 4. And verse 8, and I suppose I'd quote this the second most of any scriptures I share with people in church life, I suppose this would be number two. James 4:8, it says this, draw near to God and He will draw near to you. If you ever feel distant from God, all you got to do is turn off social media, turn off the TV, get rid of all the clutter and the noise, and begin and just go to a place with God. And I don't know what works for you. It might be just in the car. It might be a little room in your apartment or your home. It might be as you just go for a devotional walk with God. But as you consciously draw near to God, you will feel Him drawing near to you. And you'll feel His work, Him at work in your lives, transforming your wonderful lives. You know, we need to, you know, we've got a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Moses was in the wilderness, and he cried out to God. Just after he got the Ten Commandments, he just cried out to God. And I'm just actually reminded, anybody see that movie Jerry Maguire with Tom Cruise? And there's this the great line spoken by Cuba Gooding Jr., who, and I do believe he won Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor. Four words. Can anybody tell me what those four words are? Anybody, put your hand up if you know. Show me the money. Do you remember that? I mean, Jerry Maguire, Tom Cruise, he's this sports manager, and he's an agent, and he's running out of clients, so he gets ripped off, and he's only got one client, and it's Cuba Gooding Jr., the wide receiver for the Cardinals, and he rings him up, and he's trying to get him on site, and Cuba Gooding Jr. just says, listen, I want you to just show me the money. Oh, there it is. Oh, can we give our media guys and sound guys a hand? Thank you. Show me the money. It's Cuba Gooding. Cuba Gooding, he's there, and he's there, and he's rocking on, and he's listening to music, show me the money. I want you to show me the money. But you know what? Moses didn't say to God, show me the money. This is what he said. Show me your glory. He said, God, listen, show me the glory. Come on, show me your glory. Can you just say that with me? Show me the glory. Show me the glory. Turn to your neighbor and say, show me the glory. And Moses in the book of Exodus, in Exodus 34, 30, he said, God, I beseech you, show me your glory. You see, he drew near to God. And God said, okay, listen, you can't, you know, another Tom Cruise movie with Jack Nicholson, A Few Good Men. You can't handle the truth. And that's what, the truth, you can, it's Jack Nicholson, you can't, he won an Academy Award too. You can't handle the truth, poor old Tom Cruise. I don't think he's ever won one, has he? But anyway. You can't handle the truth. And it's like God says, now listen, you want me to show you the glory? And Moses goes, yeah, show me the glory. He says, you can't handle the glory. You'd spontaneously combust. You'd explode. There'd be bits of you all over Mount Sinai. But he says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He says, I want you to go and stand in this mountain, and there's a little crevice, and I want you to go into this crevice, and I want you to stand there, and Moses is there. And he says, listen, I'm going to pass by. My glory, my presence is going to pass by. But listen, you can't handle the glory. So listen, and God's hand came down. And then God went past. And just as God was disappearing over the horizon, his fingers opened up just a little bit. And Moses is looking through. And he captures a glimpse of the glory of God. And then his face begins to shine, because he got a glimpse of the wonder and the glory of Almighty God. Guys, if only we're drawn near to God. And there's other stuff in the world, and most of it's really important, like the Chargers. They're important. I understand that. The Padres, they still here in San Diego. Yeah, good, oh good. They're still hanging in there, whatever. And it's all, and your job and all the stuff. All the stuff, all our dreams and our aspirations, it's all good. But you know what? Seek first the kingdom of God and His right. And even just seek Him. And as we get a glimpse of the glory of God, we actually get a glimpse of who we can be in God. We get a glimpse of the glory that we can have as we're conformed, not to this world, but conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Oh, isn't it awesome to get a glimpse of God's glory? In fact, you know, and the Old Covenant's great, and I'm into it. In fact, I've been lecturing on the Old Testament for over 20 years at C3 Oxford Falls. But there's a more glorious covenant, the New Covenant, and 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. Just let me read it out to you. It's going to come up on screen. Paul says this, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into that same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." And if Moses in the old redundant covenant could shine because he caught a glimpse of God as he disappeared, how much more can you and I, as we begin to open the Word of God, as we come to the house of God on Sunday, as we begin to seek the face of God in prayer and draw near to Him, how much more can you and I be transformed into the image of Almighty God? Listen, I just turned 60 this year. Now you should be going, no. Everybody go, no. No, yes, it's true. But you know what? I get inspired. I read about a guy called Caleb, and he was 40 years in the wilderness, and at the age of 80, he finally entered in the promised land. He said, "Listen, give me this mountain that you promised me." He said, "I'm still as young and feel as strong as I did when I was 40 years of age. Give me this land." And I tell you what, the great thing when you're following Christ is our youth is renewed like the eagles. It doesn't matter how old you are on the outside. When you've got Jesus on the inside, you can still keep the gleam in the eye and the excitement. The glorious thing that you can serve Christ. Can we give God a hand? It's awesome. It's awesome. It's awesome. Well, number one, God is the number one agent of change. But the second agent of change is, well, I'll tell you a joke. Now, I'm going to abbreviate this joke because I don't want to upset anybody. But it's about a light bulb. And it's this old joke. And it says, how many charismatics does it take to change a light bulb? Okay, here it comes. 3, 1 to change it and 2 to bind the powers of darkness, okay? Okay, but so that's it. Something. But then it says, how many psychologists does it take to change a light bulb? 1, but the light bulb's really got to want to change. And so I want you to know this, the second agent in transformation is yourself. Yourself. We need to take personal responsibility and accountability to change our lives, to draw near to God and allow Him to work in our lives. And so, you know, decisions, decisions, decisions. Life is a succession of decisions. Where you are right now, to a large extent, is a result of the decisions you made yesterday. But where you'll be tomorrow will be a result of the decisions you make today. At the end of the service, I want to give time just to open up the altar so that anybody who wants to can just come forward and just say, "Hey, God, help me to be the person you've called me to be." In fact, you know, God's putting His finger just on different issues in a few people's lives here this morning. Hey, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. We're all people who just... Does anybody need help today, or is it just me? Well, help's here because God and His people are here this morning. So it's awesome, but we need to be able to... Now, here's the deal. God creates the world, and it's fantastic. He puts Adam and Eve in it, and it's awesome. But then He puts one thing in there which could destroy the entire human race. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, here's the deal. If it was me, If I had the choice, I would have taken the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that could destroy the entire human race. I would have taken it and put it in the most inaccessible place in the world. In other words, Mount Everest. Okay? I would have planted it on top of Mount Everest, the highest mountain in the world. I'd then put Mount Everest on an island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. And at the bottom of the island, it'd be a jungle and there'd be like tigers, anacondas, you know, lots of, you know, mean beasts. And there'd be a river right around Mount Everest teeming with piranhas. And then it'd be in the middle of the Pacific Ocean filled with white pointer sharks so that mankind couldn't access the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and destroy the planet. But oh no. What does God do? Where does he put it? Right in the middle, everybody say the middle, of the Garden of Eden. You know why? Because every day God wanted Adam and Eve to walk past that tree and make a quality decision that they were going to obey the word of God. And so you and I have the capacity, the decision-making ability. Like Moses said, today I put before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Joshua said, choose this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. Come on, let's give God a hand. Let's make a decision. Let's choose to follow God. But the third thing, the third agent of change, and this is a real important, I want to really nail this today. First was God. Second was ourselves. Third are other people. The greatest, one of the greatest agents of change are the people who surround your life. Because the people you hang out with, the people you spend time with will make you or break you. Jesus told the story of, or the parable of the sower. And in the parable of the sower, he said the sower goes out and he sows the seed. And he later says that the seed is the word of God. Now, the Bible tells us it is the incorruptible word of God. Is that right? It's awesome. It's the word of God. It's incorruptible. But check this. Only 25% of the seed grows. 75% of the seed fails. Why did 75% of the seed not grow, not bear fruit, not multiply? You know why? Because it fell into the wrong environment. Guys, God's the only one who can do the work on the inside. But you are the only one who can do the work on the outside. And choose to surround yourselves with the right people. You know, before I said James 4:8 was the scripture I shared second most with people. Well, Proverbs 13 and verse 20 is the scripture I share with people in church life the most. And it's this. He who walks with wise men will become wise. But the companion of fools will be destroyed. The bottom line is this, who you hang out with is what you will become like. The laying on of hands is a great principle, but it's just what people have in them can be transferred into your life for good or for bad. So what we need to do is we need to make quality decisions about the people that we spend time with. A little quote from me, your friends are your future. Your friends are your future. Hang out with the right people. So Isaac Newton was together with Albert Einstein. So Isaac Newton is thought of in human history as being the smartest man who ever lived. So Isaac Newton, and so Isaac Newton, he was a scientist. He developed, you know, the law of gravity. That was Newton's principle there. He's a scientist. He was an alchemist, like a chemist. He was a philosopher. He was a theologian. The greatest thinker, together with Albert Einstein, in human history. And he said these words, "If I have seen further, it is because I have stood on the shoulders of giants." Let me repeat that quote. If I have seen further, it is because I have stood on the shoulders of giants. He associated with great people, and he became great. You know what? I was out with Pastor Phil Pringle a few years ago now. He was preaching, and I was accompanying him on one of his ministry trips. And I said to him, "Pastor Phil," first of all, he had this great brown leather pair of shoes on that were super expensive from Italy. And I said, "Mate, I love those shoes of yours. They're awesome." That was one thing I said. The next day, on the Monday, on my desk were those brown leather shoes. And I thought, I've missed another opportunity. What I should have said is, "I really like that V8 BMW you're driving." That's what I should have said. Another opportunity lost. But I also said to him, I said, "Pastor Phil, who I am is largely a result of the fact that for 20 years I've sat under your ministry and I've spent time with you as a pastor, as a mentor, as a leader, as a friend. Who I am, to a large extent, is a result of my relationship with you." And he said to me, "Who I am is a result of my relationship with you, Mark, and the wonderful team we have at C3 Oxford Falls." Guys, I want you to know this. To choose quality relationships. To hang out with great people. And we see in Scripture, we see in the Word of God, these incredible principles. The great challenge that you and I have, the great standards that we should live up to. And it can be quite daunting. God calls us to love God. He calls us to have great passion. He calls us to heal the sick, to give to the poor. He calls us to be worshippers. And that might not be our strong suit, but I want you to know this, that these divine principles are incarnate in the people that we rub shoulders with in our church. And so if you're struggling in an area of your life, if you're going, "You know what, I just struggle to have passion for God." You know what the Apostle Paul said in Hebrews? He said, "Imitate those who are your leaders." Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, "Be imitators of me, even as I imitate Christ." And if you say, "I'm struggling to find passion," then you look at Pastor David Chittick. And you go, "You know what? That's not a strength in my life, but that truth is incarnate in Pastor David's life. I am going to follow his example and regain passion for Christ." The great principles of God are incarnate in the people we have round about us. None of us have everything we need to be a Christ-like person. But with the whole of us working together. See, Isaiah, there's this weird scripture in Isaiah 65:8. It says this, "The wine is found in the cluster of grapes." Isn't that weird? Here's the deal. One little grape you can't do a lot with. But when you get a pile of grapes and you throw them into that vat, and you kick off your shoes, and you jump on them, then you start getting some wine happening. And listen, can I say this? We need each other. Don't isolate yourselves. Hang out with the people of God. Get some of that good stuff to rub off on you. Get stuff of that love, that passion. "Oh, I'm struggling worshiping God." You know what? Thank God for Andy Bennett in our church. When I look at him, I see what a worshiper is. And our one. Can we give the worship team a big hand? I'm going to be a worshiper. Because I can see incarnate in our team. I can see what being a worshiper really is. "Oh, I'm struggle winning people." Anybody struggle winning people, the lost to Christ and sharing your testimony? I don't know. I do. But I was just talking in the green room and I said, "Who's an example of evangelism?" They said, "Laurie Mead." Is that her there? Lori, stand up, Lori. Give Lori a hand. Someone who wins people to Christ. Give him the glory. And you know what? I can see in that person. I'm not a great personal evangelist. That's not my gifting. But I can see in Lori, I can see someone who's an evangelist. I want to be like that person. Isn't that awesome? And then, you know, we go, oh, mate, I'd love to be able to heal the sick, but I just don't. You know what? You got Pastor John Hendricks, who loves laying hands on sick people. If I can hang around him, if I can see him in action, I can pick up some of that good stuff. Oh, man, I'd love to have a successful business. But that's not really who I am. But thank God for Pastor Dr. Matt Hubbard and Colin Higginbottom in our church. They can show me how to be a successful businessman. They can show me how to manage my money and make more finances. The principles in Holy Scripture are incarnate in the people round about us. And that's why I just absolutely love the Church of Jesus Christ. It's filled with fallible human beings like you and me. But as we link our arms together and go on a journey together with God, and make that decision ourselves that we're going to draw near to God, as we go on that journey, we're transformed into His image from glory to glory. We become the people God's called us to be, and we can do the things that God has called us to do. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Right now, we're in the presence of Almighty God. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, it'd be remiss of me if I didn't give you an opportunity. If you've never met Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, or you've been away from God, you're saying, I need to get right with God today. If you're uncertain of where you'd spend eternity and you need reassurance in your heart and life, while every head is bowed, while every eye is closed, if that's you, in a moment I'm just going to ask you if you want to raise your hand and you can say, yeah, that's me. I want to be a follower of Jesus. I want to live for Christ. So while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if that's you, could you just raise your hand right now and say, yeah, that's me. I need Jesus in my world. I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Just lift your hand up, give me a wave. Thank you, sweetheart. Just the young girl, thank you. Thank you very much. Who else is there today? I want to be a follower of Christ. I'm uncertain of where I'd spend eternity. I've been away from God. I need to come back to God. God bless you. God bless you today. There's two wonderful people. Anybody else here today? Wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I want to ask you this morning, just as we're closing the service, if you're saying, hey, God, I want to go on that journey with you. I want to draw near to you and let you change my life. I want to make a decision to be transformed by your Spirit. And I want to hang around with God's people, the right people, and have what they've got to rub off on me. Help me to be the person you've called me to be. If that's you, could you just raise your hand this morning and say, hey, that's me. I'd love to pray for you this morning. I want you to just lift your hand and say, yeah, that's me. I'd love to be prayed for. I'd like to step out and be a new person, be the person God's called me to be and do the things that God's called me to do in the name of Jesus. You know what? Right now.
Thanks for listening. To find out more about our pastors, team, and what we do at C3 Church San Diego, go to c3sandiego.com.